Hello again, one and all. This is the Wrestling Addict Show on Believe.com, Believe Network, ladies and gentlemen. You can hear us on the iHeartRadio app, the Google app. You can hear us on Apple, on Spotify, on Amazon. That's where you're hearing us right now, on all of those, and anywhere else that you can hear podcasts. And if you're not hearing us, you should be. You should be listening to the Wrestling Addict Show.
Damn right.
Yeah, search for BTP Sports on the Believe Network website. That's BLEAV.com. And I am Jimmy Anderson, sporting my Boss Man tank top here.
Boss Man.
Yeah.
If we're not careful, we could be serving hard time for Rafael Guzman, who's walking with Elias right now. He's got that shirt on. And, of course, we also have the great Macho. Richard.
Because
Walker.
The cream rises to the top.
Rises to the top. That's right. And he's got that on. All right. Now, I thought.
Grab my guitar.
Oh, yeah. There you go. With Elias and sing us a little song.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know. Richard has been known to make people sing.
That's true. You know, there's been a lot of discussion, not only on our Wrestling Addict Show page on Facebook and even on Twitter, but also there's been a lot of discussion just in sports in general. They always say the Mount Rushmore of this, the Mount Rushmore of that. So I thought, guys, we could come up with our own Mount Rushmores of wrestling.
Mount Rushmores. Damn.
If we could have four Mount Rushmores, we'd have like the babyface Mount Rushmore of wrestling, the heel Mount Rushmore, the manager one, the commentary one. I say you start with the good guys. Shouldn't the good guys always win? Shouldn't you start with the good guys? I don't know.
Okay.
Just a little while.
Easy
I don't know.
Enough.
Yeah, we can start with that. Usually the bad guys finish first, but hey, let's just pretend in this case it's the baby faces. Now, let me start with you, Richard. Who might be on your baby face Mount Rushmore?
In no particular order. And remember, we're only talking about the character, not the person, because I need to have that line of demarcation, because there's one person on my Mount Rushmore that I wouldn't piss to put out if he's on fire personally. So first one, of course, Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Without question. There was never, arguably maybe The Rock, but there was never a baby face that was over like Hogan. Back in the day, every kid and some adults ate their vitamins, said their prayers, did the little flex thing. He was the first crossover mainstream megastar wrestler as a babyface that crossed over into pop culture. Without question, Hogan's on the Mount Rushmore. I already alluded to it, The Rock, who is, I think he's taking the Hogan momentum to a new level, because he became a actual movie star. And it's so crazy now, if you talk to some of the young folks that don't know about his wrestling career, they know Dwayne Johnson, the actor, but they may not know or as well The Rock. They know he wrestled, but they don't know what he did, and they don't know how big he was in the business. So His career as an actor is so damn big, is now rivals, you know, his wrestling career. So obviously, you know, he's definitely over, like super over. Personally, one of my, I think without question, you know, I kind of call him, he's really sort of a tweener, but he was just so damn cool that like everybody wanted to be like him, and is the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo!
On the baby face one, huh?
Well, he wasn't like a baby face per se, but he's a guy that everybody wanted to be.
Yeah.
Flair was a little bit of both.
Well,
so yeah, kind of sneak preview, I actually got him on both of my Mount Rushmores. Flair is that damn big. The man was the business. The swag, the women, the cars, the money. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wanted to be Ric Flair. He was the guy who was the bad guy that everybody cheered for. So to me, that kind of gives him like a baby face like flavor, because the baby face is the guy that everybody wanted to be, right? But Flair was so over in his character. Hell, everybody wanted to be like Ric Flair, baby.
That's true.
So he's definitely on my Mount Rushmore. And then fourth one I have on my Mount Rushmore, some may not agree, but one of my personal favorites is none other than the Bret Man, the Hitman Bret Hart. Mm-hmm. When he came to the ring, you know, just the excellence that he brought to the ring, like he was just the best. And he wasn't lying. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. When he came out there, you know for damn sure you're going to get a very quality match. His interaction with his opponent, his interaction with the crowd, every kid in the world. I still want one of those pair of glasses.
Me too.
I don't give a damn how old I am. I want a pair. Well, if you see me, I want one. I'm going to ask you for one. You know, that's – to me, that's my Mount Rushmore babyface.
I'm gonna go to eBay later and look for those glasses. You got me thinking.
I want some from Brett. I want to sit in the front row. I want Brett to give me the glasses that he wears.
That's true too. All right. Yeah. How about it, Raphael? Who have you got?
So, in no particular order, I'm gonna say Jeff Hardy. Okay. As far as you said, babyface, right?
Mm-hmm. Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. Oh heck yeah, bro! Jeff Hardy was over with the fans. The kids loved him. He was a fan favorite. I mean, despite all his personal, you know, because we said we're going to leave all that out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Come on, dude. The guy was awesome. I mean, he was definitely a fan favorite. The crowd popped every time he came out.
The kids
loved him. They still do. Another one, I'm going to say Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
Is another babyface guy. I mean, you know, you're talking about an underdog. You're talking about a guy who... You know, he was, 5'4", something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been in the business, 30-plus years at this point?
Yes.
He's still doing his thing?
Yep.
He's wrestling with his son now?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I got me a Lucha Libre mask upstairs. You know, I should have wore it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, probably Richard would have probably thanked me if I would have wore it. and then another one, like Richard said, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Yeah.
I mean, he's my all-time favorite wrestler. Y'all know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, you definitely got a great match when he came out. He knew how to work the crowd.
This guy
was good on the mic. I mean, he was just a total package, dude. I mean, he was just great. I mean, I just hate that his career ended the way it did.
Yes.
But, you know, I go back and watch his match with the 1-2-3 Kid. I watched his matches with Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, you just – every time I watch it, I'm like, man, this guy was that good, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then the last one, man, I'm gonna have to say Hogan, man.
Yeah.
Just like Richard said, you know, because Hogan, let's face it, when I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, the whole vitamins, the prayers, you know, you know, what do you call those pillows that they had, the buddies?
Wrestling buddies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wrestling buddies, you know, the action figures, you know?
Yep.
I mean, so... I definitely would put him put those guys on the Mount Rushmore up there of baby faces. And then I'm gonna add another guy to it.
You add the fifth face.
I'm gonna add a fifth one just because I knew I was thinking about someone. I'm gonna have to say Stone Cold Steve Austin, man. Even though he wasn't really a baby face, he was more like a neutral.
True.
Come on, man.
True.
You know, I mean the rattlesnake.
He had babies
wanting
to drink beer.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? Stone Cold Steve Austin, he came out, he talked trash, he kicked ass, you know, the fans loved him, you know.
If you think about it, he really kind of changed the course of the way baby faces operate, didn't he?
Right.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, being the clean cut baby face kind of guy, you know, it's more like the fan favorite who breaks the rules, but you still love him because he
Let me ask you this, Richard. Let me ask you this. Give me two honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. Well, I didn't mention Stone Cold, so he would have to be one for me. Let's see.
What about RVD?
He was big. I would say not per se one of my favorites, but I have to respect what he did for the business and how big he is in the business. And I bust his balls all the time, but just, you know, you gotta pay respect to the Fruity Pebbles champion, John Cena, because he's not quite The Rock. He's damn sure not, you know, Stone Cold or Hogan or anything like that. But
Cena, he's a legend, yeah.
He has his own generation of, you know, fans that he connected with, and you know, it's almost, to me, it kind of limited his career because he got so deep into being a babyface that he couldn't turn heel. Because he was afraid that it might have ruined his career. I think it would have been badass. I would have, I think most of the grown men that don't like John Cena probably would have wound up liking John Cena if he would have turned heel.
Yeah. But
it was a big risk he would have took if he would have did that, you know, to alienate himself from, he sold more merchandise than just about anybody as far as I know.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean,
I agree.
Yeah, he's a monumental babyface.
Yeah.
He's definitely, he still is.
Yeah.
You know, they want to hold. He stopped just short of saying he's retiring, but we know it's coming. And they're already talking about, you know, basically giving him a retirement tour. So, you know, he just had his 20th anniversary with the WWE, and you know, they're already doing a big deal. So, you know, the end is near.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're gonna make a big deal out of it on the way out the door.
Yeah. I wanna go through mine now. I've been giving this a lot of thought. I'm trying to go by strictly the category of babyface, which is kind of tricky to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my first one, Bob Backlund, the babyface. Bob Backlund.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And he was a heel, too. I remember that.
Yeah, but like he was like the face of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation back in the day. Yeah. So if we're strictly going by babyface in the strictest sense of the word, I'd have to put him as a clean cut babyface if you really think about it. Another one I would go for, who I don't think ever did heel in his career, was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He never played heel. I don't believe he ever did the heel role. NWA, the WWF, and WCW.
Yep.
Never played the heel role when he was an active wrestler. So that's another one right there because he was very by the book. Rare. I mean, he had that fire, you know, and sometimes he'd throw punches, but really was like a very by the rules kind of baby thing, as was Bob Backlund, maybe Backlund more so, in fact. I want to also add Bret Hart for the reasons already mentioned, you know, playing to the children, giving the sunglasses and all of those.
Oh, my sunglasses. Great.
Yes. Yeah, we all do.
I do, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And
pink, I mean, ain't nobody gonna wear pink, but I mean, he made it look cool, you know.
Hey, he made it cool, made pink look cool, man.
Yeah,
the last one I gonna want to go with, even though he was a heel for his most famous part of his career, but everybody loved him, including me, Andre the Giant. Remember when he was the baby face, you know, in the 70s into the early 80s, you know, with the NWA, even with the AWA, Mid South at times. And then his early WWF stint, or second stint, I guess. Just the gentle giant at that point. But it was really angry if you got him mad. And, you know, would really be violent. But I'd have to go with those four, at least for me. As
Andre actually sacrificed that for Hogan.
Yes. You
know, he turned super heel when he started working with Hogan. You know, it's like, okay. And he did everything he could to put Hogan over. And it worked. Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, and I guess if I'd have to put a fifth, Hogan, but he really was never the cleanest babyface. If you remember, he would rake the back and scrape the eyes of the heels. You guys remember that in those matches?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go back to the match at WrestleMania 2 he had with King Kong Bundy, he's doing all of that stuff. I mean, he's like wrestling.
Yeah, that's the Hogan could wrestle worth it now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know, Hogan, he started hulking up and doing this.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And I mean, that's what made it cool, you know.
I guess maybe I could put Hogan on there just for the popularity, or
like an honorable mention for you.
Yeah, because I always think of like Bob Backlund in that saccharine category of babyface before he, you know, came back on turned on Arnold Scullin and became heel and went crazy. Mr. Backlund, I want to run for president, that kind of thing, which was a great character too in its own right. And John Cena, I'd have to definitely give an honorable mention. He was like, even though he had a little bit of, you know, not often heelish tactics, but he definitely placated to the youth.
This is really tough, man. I'm just
thinking tough.
About all the, And then you have so many guys that kind of cross over, like, damn, he's awesome, he's great, but where would you put him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even like The Undertaker, man. The Undertaker.
Right,
man.
That's exactly what I'm
thinking. Exactly. He crosses over so many, you know, too.
They kind of walk the line a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and even Jake Roberts, when he was a babyface, he wasn't completely a babyface. So that's what made it hard for me, because
he still had that dark side to him a little bit. Right. That's kind of what I think of with Flair.
Yeah, and like exactly. Said,
the babyface Flair that I like was him and Bischoff, and then also Flair versus Vince.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then you got that that component too. Like he was big in those roles.
I can't believe I didn't mention Sting. We didn't mention Sting.
Yeah.
That's the baby face.
We need like eight or nine faces on this.
That's really hard to do.
Well, that's why I said honorable mentions, because like it really is hard to put them, because everybody you guys have mentioned deserves to be on there. Like you said, Cena. I mean, come on. Cena's been like babyface for years.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, still to this day, he is, you know.
And I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, oh my God, how disrespectful we think about guys like Hacksaw Duggan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Junkyard Dog. Like, those guys were like way over. Like, every kid wanted a 2x4 and say, oh!
And even the Big Boss Man. The Macho Man, too. I mean, you know,
tag teams? Like, you know, babyface tag teams.
Rock and Roll Express.
The Rock and Roll Express, yeah.
The Rockers.
Yes. Yep. Oh, definitely the Rockers.
Yep.
And the Young Stallions in the WWF, if you're going strictly by babyface. Or even the Road Warriors, if you're not. Because they were massively popular. Everybody cheered for them, even though they weren't. Yeah. Strict baby faces, they were in the categorical sense, but not in the style sense, you know?
Right.
And they tried to turn him heel against the Midnight Express, but it didn't work because everybody loved him. Right. Sting, rather, I think. Yeah, and the Midnight Express. Yeah, but I think they were still getting cheered when they gave Sting the Doomsday device in the ring. And, you know, JR sold it perfectly. My God, he just broke his neck right there, and everybody's still cheering. Sting, the way he took the bump, it's like
I got a feeling we'll be hearing a bit about JR later on.
Sure will, yeah. All right, so I think we've got the baby face about covered, have we not?
Yeah.
Okay, now how about the heels? I think that's the natural progression to go to the
Richard's a heel himself.
Richard's going. Yeah, I see. He's all but salivating at the mouth. Like, I want to. I'm gonna start. Those
weird kids. Like, I always liked the bad guys.
So a lot of people are like that.
I was rooted for the Riddler and the Joker. Mm-hmm. You know, I was that kid. I like Mum Ra. You know what I'm saying? I was that guy. I'm a Megatron fan. Yeah, I always
like Skeletor or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
I was that guy. You know,
what about Gargamel on the Smurfs? I'm sure you
know. I thought Gargamel was a jackass. But grown man trying to chase some little 2-inch blue animals. Hey, you find something to do with yourself, man.
That's right. Well, that's fair enough.
Anyway.
excluding the cartoon characters of the 80s, Richard Walker, who would you put on your heel Mount Rushmore?
I cannot even start my list without the man on my shirt.
Oh yeah!
Wow,
Macho Man! Oh, I like the ultimate, but he was the hero that you had to love, because I will sit and watch, and I'll be like, I know he's coming on. I would watch wire to wire just to see when Macho Man is gonna come on and cut a promo, because I know this. I know he's gonna give me one.
The Macho King.
So without question, Macho Man, without question. Uh-huh. I already gave y'all one of them earlier, Ric Flair. I mean, he goes both ways.
The dirtiest player in the game, bro.
Right?
The dirtiest player in the game, you know. The guy that you hate, but you love to hate, but you hate to love, you know. Mm-hmm. He's just that dude. He's that damn big that he goes on both Mount Rushmores.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, man, that was getting tough.
Yes.
I would say the next heel that I would put on, only because his moment was so big, and like it was like one of the biggest jaw-dropping moments in the business, in the history of business. And you know, I know I bust his chops every chance I get, and there is I can't think of a single Wrestling Addicts episode where I have not said the name Edward Lesnar. The dude ended the streak.
Yeah, he's a good heel.
Yeah,
you're right.
He ended the streak. That is like one of the biggest heel pop moments that I can think of.
Yeah,
because like they got all of us off guard with that. Like nobody expected.
Nobody
that.
Saw it coming.
Yeah. Nobody saw that one coming. And that was the fuel for the rest of his career. Like he was good before the end, but that made him great. And for him to have that distinction, I mean, he has to be on the top, you know, four or five, you know, whatever. And heels. And of course, the one guy that we talked about on our last show, you hadn't had a chance to go see it, Vince McMahon. The boss. Everybody hates the boss. Mm-hmm. Everybody hates the boss. So I think without question, Vince is on the Mount Morris Rushmore also.
Okay. All right, Raphael, how about it?
Are we doing honorable mentions too? Or,
oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Honorable mention, I went back and forth a million times, but somewhere, somehow, you got to find a place for my man, Mr. Perfect.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
He's almost too likable, though, but he was a great heel. But, geez, that's a tough one, too.
But he was a heel. That's the thing.
He was, yeah. And even in the – I don't even know about the strictest sense. I mean, he wrestled so technically well.
Right.
Even when Bret Hart was a heel.
So he was so pompous and so arrogant.
Yeah. He carried the heel part well, yes. Yeah,
he did.
And so did the Genius.
The other guy that's on my heel of Mount Rushmore is Ted DiBiase.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He made people kiss his feet, man. I mean,
Rob Van Dam, remember? He made RVD.
Yeah.
And I loved RVD too, by the way, Raphael. I forgot to mention that earlier. He was one of my favorites.
Of course. Yeah, he was.
He was the whole effing show. Yeah.
He was. For me, I'm gonna put Edge up there. Because you know Edge, you know the
open. He's underrated. He's very underrated.
The rated R superstar, the ultimate opportunist. I mean, this guy literally cashed in the money in the bank when Cena was already out. Like, I mean, he cashed it in and took advantage of it. You know.
And then for him to drag the real life storyline of him cheating with Lita into that's some real.
Yeah.
Oh, that's some heel shit right there, man. Like,
and
you're like actually working with this guy and you banging his girl, man. Like, damn.
Oh yeah.
He was a great heel right there, man.
I mean, he was just a flat out jerk, and that's what a heel is supposed to be, man.
He's good.
So he's good. Mm-hmm. The next one on my list is definitely Triple H.
Yeah.
I mean,
how could you not? Yeah. You know, the cerebral assassin. You know that. This dude took advantage of it. I mean, he married the boss's daughter, you know, all this stuff. You know, he did all these things. He invaded WCW. This was before his heel turn, but still, right. You know, he turned his back on X-Pac at WrestleMania. Was it WrestleMania, Jimmy? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think it was.
So he was definitely another heel. I mean, he's just a great dude. Another one, I'm going to say Randy Orton. I'm talking about the legend killer. Randy Orton.
Yeah.
The legend killer Randy Orton is a heel. I mean, you're talking about Mae Young, freaking Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah.
You know, then he kicked Vince McMahon in the head. He was going around punting people in the head, like causing concussions, doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take that away from him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm thinking who else? Because I know I had it on the top of my head. I said Randy Orton. I said Triple H. Oh, Vince McMahon, of course. Mm-hmm. You mentioned heel. Yeah. You can't mention heel without Vince McMahon.
Right.
The boss.
The boss. Know,
people are chanting asshole to this dude when he comes out to the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
An honorable mention, man. Ravishing Rick Rude.
Ooh. Yes.
Come on, man.
Shame on me for not.
Yeah.
This dude came out and insulted everyone.
He had a picture.
Come on, Jimmy. Give me an impression.
Who was that? He had the picture of his
wife. Let me think here.
Who was that?
I got this old microphone here. Remember this? What I'd like to have right now is for all you fat, out of shape, Houston hillbillies, keep the noise down while I take my robe off. Something like that. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, this dude, was
Kofi. Was that Jake the Snake's wife that he had on his tights?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, come on, man. Like,
yeah.
He had a picture of this man's wife on his tights.
I mean, come on, man. He's definitely up there, man.
He would work that before the match. He's over before he made a single spot.
Dude, there was a time in WCW where he came out where he couldn't even talk. He was getting booed so loud he couldn't
get his promo. I know exactly what you're talking about. Was that the Super Brawl 2 clip?
Yep.
No, man, this dude was he was getting heat from the crowd.
What I'd like to have right now, and he looked around. Because everybody was still going nuts. What I'd like to have right now. And everybody again. And he's looking around. And he had to try it a third time. And I think he just had to go through it because time was going to run out anyway. They couldn't even get to the mat.
I want to say it was Cornette talking about, like, they had to have extra security and, like, take him out, like, different times. Like, he would go out, like, with the ring crew and... Like, they slashed the tires on his car. He had so much heat. They would have someone else. Like, he had so much heat. They would have somebody else book his hotels and, like, sneak him into the hotel because, like, they were afraid people were going to go fire him at the hotel to try to whip his ass. Like, he was that over. Like, he was that.
I mean, this dude was coming out cutting promos saying he was calling the crowd piss ants.
Right. Poughkeepsie piss ants or something like that.
But
and he would always localize it too. He localized the assault. Yeah. So wherever he go, he make it personal.
Ted DiBiase. You're right. Yeah. You caught it earlier. I mean, everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Right, Jimmy, you're up, man.
Okay. It's a tough one.
It's tough.
It's very tough.
God. Okay. Well, I definitely have to put on there because now what Richard said was a big changer in the business, but I think this one was as well. Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Oh,
Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Not Hulk Hogan, but Hollywood.
Hollywood.
NWO
Hogan.
96, yes. Changed everything and revitalized his career because his career was like dying, basically.
It was over. His career was a flickering candle.
And then he brought it back to life with that one character change, and it worked. We've mentioned Ric Flair for the obvious reasons, dirtiest player in the game. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I've got to go old school with Rowdy Roddy Piper in the mid-80s during the rock and wrestling era. Mm-hmm. I mean, he punt-kicked Cyndi Lauper in the head during the record ceremony. Captain Lou gets a gold record. Dick Clark is the presenter. It's at Madison Square Garden. Then Piper comes in there, breaks the record over Lou Albano's head. Cyndi Lauper tries to save him, and then she gets kicked across the ring. Dave Wolf, her manager, her music manager, gets just absolutely slammed into the canvas. And everybody on MTV hated the guy. I mean, like the reporters, everybody. I mean, it's like he comes out there, he breaks a guitar before his War to Settle the Score match, which was live on MTV. That was another thing. And when they're announcing his, everybody is just going nuts with boos. They're just, you can't even hear the announcer practically. I mean, it's crazy. He was like one of the earliest mainstream heels in wrestling, I guess.
No question.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I guess on that same line, I'd have to go with Rick Rude as well because of all the heat and the nuclear heat that he got. Yeah. But of course, honorable mentions, the Macho King, Macho Man, you know, he would just go nuts. Yeah. I mean, you never knew where he was going to be in the ring at one point or another. Sometimes he just randomly climbed to the top rope, do the double X handle with the guy on the outside, throw him right back in and do his thing.
We didn't mention, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, go ahead. No.
But we'd be remiss if we didn't mention JBL.
Yeah,
JBO was a damn good heel.
Yeah, really, he was.
Inside and out.
I mean, doing a clothesline from hell. I mean, just being a complete jerk. Like,
yes,
you know, he's got money. He's a businessman.
He pulls it off very well.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job, you know.
Yeah, and I got to give Eddie Guerrero that honorable mention, too. I mean, he played that role perfectly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Eddie was a good heel, too, man. You're right.
Yeah, he was perfect at it. And I think another one that's got to get a mention is Jake the Snake Wallace.
Yes.
His psychology for wrestling,
right?
No matter what side he played on, but I think he was better as a heel.
Yeah.
And he was just, he could mesmerize you with his low dulcet tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't have to scream at you. He would basically just tell you the way it was. And remember the time he smacked Elizabeth when he was in that feud with the Macho Man? Yep. Oh, the crowd went nuts.
Yep.
That was bad. I mean, just really bad.
Oh, one other guy that I'm ashamed that I didn't even mention him, the Iron Sheik.
Oh, yeah, oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
He
man.
Was another I mean, early.
Yeah. The man spat on the American flag.
I could do the Iron Sheik. You're talking about the Iron Sheik. And except I could say anything. Fuck you, the Hulk Hogan. Fuck it, Jim Brunson. Fuck him in the ass and make him happen.
Did you, hey Rich, you still follow his tweets?
Oh my God. If you, man, if y'all not following Iron Sheik, you missing. You missing.
I do.
Every day, it's just not a dull moment without that guy.
My favorite was, good night, sweetheart. Go fuck yourself.
Man.
The Iron Sheik. I think Kurt Angle was another guy that was a good heel, too. Yeah. Man. I mean, how could you not? I mean,
yeah.
And you know what's funny? The three I's, the intensity, integrity, and intelligence. Is that it?
Yes.
Now, what was funny about him was he was a heel by being a babyface in a time when everybody liked the heels.
He was a dork. Right. That's what it was.
Yeah.
He was a babyface that just didn't work. He was like, you know what? Screw y'all.
Yeah. I think that was the idea.
He tried the babyface thing. It just didn't work. Like, he's an Olympic champion. And, like,
wasn't that the idea, though?
Hmm?
For him to be the baby face, wasn't that the idea for him to be the baby face and be?
Yeah, he just won. He had just won.
I'm league. Just here to wrestle, and then they boo the hell out.
Yeah, like nobody cares.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Until they saw him wrestle, and they're like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, one that they did try as a baby face. We didn't mention him, but they actually did try a baby face role with him, and it didn't work. And it was the Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah.
They actually, when he first came in to the WWF in 1986, he came in as a babyface.
Yeah.
And they were booing the hell out of him for real because they didn't like him. And then they did this fake letter campaign. Do you approve of the Honky Tonk Man or do you not? And then, of course, Jesse Ventura had to deliver the bad news. He was not approved. And then he went off on a tangent about that and became a big mega heel.
He was a very good heel too.
Very good
young man. He was a very good heel.
But it's hard to watch that footage of him coming out there slapping the fans' hands and high fiving people. It didn't work.
No.
You know, he was just a better heel.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler was
coming out with that pink Cadillac and the chicks in the background with the guitar. Who was it? Diamond Dallas Page.
Diamond Dallas Page. Yeah, and Sensational Sherry was Peggy Sue.
Yep.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, what else should we talk? Oh, yeah, I was thinking about, you mentioned Cornette. Did you mention Paul Heyman earlier also? Because we got to talk about the manager's hall, Mount Rushmore. That's why I bring it up.
This may be the most difficult Mount Rushmore of all to me.
Okay.
Because there's so many. And they're all kind of clumped up in that same
area. Do you want to think about it for, and let me.
I need a little time to noodle on it, man.
Okay.
As far as what, like managers?
The managers.
Yeah.
Like the Mount Rushmore of managers?
Right.
Yes.
I'm going to say as far as baby – well, no, heel, we're talking about heel managers.
It doesn't matter. Jimmy Hart. Heel or baby.
I'm going to say Jimmy Hart is probably up there because, Jimmy Hart, he managed a lot of the heel wrestlers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point he was managing Earthquake, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I could be wrong.
No, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right.
You know. Hey, I'm getting old, brother. You know, I'm going straight off of the dome.
No, I remember it. Uh-huh. In fact, they attacked Andre the Giant. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And, this guy was annoying. You know, he came out with the megaphone, talking trash to them and doing all this stuff. And
You can do it, baby. You can do it. Yeah. Come on. You can do it.
But it worked.
You got him in your front. Yeah.
It really worked. You know, so I think he was a very good heel manager. But my favorite heel manager of all time is Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yes.
Oh, no, of course.
Bobby
no
the course. Brain Heenan was just, I mean, he was just a cheater. I mean, he he did whatever he had to do. The bad guy was going to win. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what he didn't care. And right, then he was a heel commentator too, you know, so definitely, you know, one of the greats. And we don't see that nowadays, you know, it's missing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just like Ric Flair, you know, the dirty player in the game, you know, mm-hmm. he was just that guy. He was just a heel manager and it worked, you know, I mean, the guys that he managed were successful. Mr. Perfect, one of them.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Successful career, Intercontinental Champion. Yeah. And then as far as another heel manager, I'm going to say Stephanie McMahon.
Mm-hmm. Now, they came out with Triple H. Heels or baby faces. It doesn't matter if you whatever you decided you want to be on.
Yeah, I would say her, man. She was, I mean, she was a bitch.
She was.
But that was her role, man. That's what she wanted. That's what she needed to do.
Uh-huh. And so it was the contrast like, because if you remember when the Stephanie first came out, she was the sweet, innocent little.
Oh, yeah.
And then she just turned into a bitch overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Because at first she was, the Undertaker abducted her and then she was.
And then Triple H supposedly got a drunk and they got married. And then, everybody feels so sorry. Then she was like, you know what? that was a plot twist.
Bro, she slapped her dad.
Yes.
And her mom too, right? Yeah. She slapped her mama too.
Slapped her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She slapped her mom and then her dad and then
that's the epitome of cruel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's all right. Stone Cold got all of the McMahons later on. You know,
like, all of them,
all of them except Linda with that terrible bump that she took. she'll never live that one.
Linda was the worst McMahon on television. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes, by far.
She couldn't talk. She couldn't act. She had trouble breathing on cue, I think.
and she ran a horrible campaign for
Cleveland. Yeah.
Richard's never going to let that one go.
I'm never going to let it go.
I agree. They changed the whole company.
I would have run against Linda McMahon. I would have beat her. Mm-hmm. With $18 in campaign funds, I would have whipped her ass.
Was that all four for you, by the way, manager-wise? For the managers, was that all four? Any honorable mentions?
Bro. I can't count, bro.
Okay. Well, I told you, man, this is a tough category, though.
It is a tough. Are you ready, or do you want to take some more time, Richard? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, for me, one guy for sure has to be there because he was a guy who changed the entire industry. And like we said before, he was a dude that was a visionary. Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Heyman has resurrected, saved, or changed so many careers.
Absolutely.
He said it himself. Mm-hmm. When Doink the Clown was around there with a red nose, fucking around with the gobbledygooker, Stone Cold Steve Austin was drinking his first beer in ECW.
Yeah.
True. And he was that type of guy that he built characters. And he was the perfect accent to a character, especially the big, stupid guys that can't talk, like Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, you know, those kind of guys. He was the mouthpiece for him. He's the energy. Yeah. He's the guy that he was the show. And he, you know, he worked so well as a manager and, you know, really built their characters that all they had to do was go in there and work because he did all the talking. So without question, Paul Heyman. I think you both mentioned Bobby the Brain Heenan, and I think that his career speaks for itself. There's no question. One guy that we didn't mention that I think didn't speak much, but his nonverbal behaviors really carried a lot of weight. Is Mr. Fuji?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That, actually, Fuji. I was going to bring up Mr. Fuji. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, he did great for Yokozuna. I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah.
He even made the Berserker look like a legitimate character, you know, in 91. And then the Demolition, too.
Right. Let's see. Who would I do? My fourth manager.
Jimmy Hart, bro. I'm telling you, he's definitely.
Yeah. No. I can't leave this guy off the list. Okay. Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
I can't leave Cornette off the list. I can't. Yeah. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, dude. Jim Cornette was great, man. I mean, when he was managing the British Bulldog and Owen was Hart again and
another guy who added a different element to those tag teams that he managed, to all those guys that he managed. You know, he would be the guy who take the heat, you know. And you know, he was over with the crowd, like you know, he was another one of those guys that had to hide and go to shady motels in the middle of the night because he couldn't even be seen in public because there was just so many threats against him.
Oh, yeah. He was great, man.
Well, you know,
I think he managed Yokozuna also, right?
Yeah. For a little while. Yeah. Now, Richard, you know, you and I being from Houston, we can't dismiss the fact that Jim Cornette was in Mid-South and worked with Paul Bosch as well. And in fact, one time Paul Bosch had to tell Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express to get out of there because they were going to get killed by the fans, because the fans in the Coliseum were going crazy and
going to kill them.
The promoter told them, get out of here now. This is going too far. You guys are egging them on too much.
Yeah.
You know, when that's happening, that's a sign of a heel. So Jim Cornette would have to be my – do you have any honorable mentions, Richard?
Honorable mentions? I say Paul Bearer, but the only reason I didn't include him is like he's limited to just The Undertaker, really.
Right.
I
mean,
he, you know, and the other one, kind of the same, Captain Lou Albano, limited.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
great, but limited.
Yeah, he had quite a few, though, like in the olden days of the WWF.
Yeah. Oh, one other guy that comes to mind, another guy that I can't believe we forgot about. Classy Freddie Blassie.
He was going to be on my list too.
That's
two of them. Freddie Blassie and Jim Cornette are two of them. Yeah. You guys have already mentioned Bobby the Brain Heenan. I won't go into the same reasons, but I mean, he goes back to the 60s with you know, Blackjack Lanza, and then he managed in the 70s and had a thing or a feud with Pepper Gomez up in Chicago, I think it was Bob Luce's promotion, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you had those guys. I always thought about Captain Lou as well because, you know, he even managed Hogan at the first WrestleMania. He had turned babyface by that point. And so we had Hogan. He managed the British Bulldogs at one time.
Oh, wow.
Later
that's
on.
That's old school right there, bro.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was like his last team. The Machines were. He had the Machines. He had a number of guys. So, you know, I kind of throw him in there as well, just for that sake. And who else should I go? I mean, because there's so many guys and, you know, so few spaces, so to speak. But
you went with Stephanie Raphael. I think Sensational Sherry didn't get enough credit either.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that was I was going to bring her up too.
Yeah.
I mean, she was definitely a great manager.
Marla Heat.
Those are but my fourth
Marla Heat, Shawn Michaels,
Macho King. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and Shawn Michaels. You said
Shawn Michaels. Yeah. Yep.
I got to go with. I'm going to go with my final one. I'm going to go with Jimmy Hart. But honorable mention, Sensational Sherry, as you said, because Sherry could do it all. She could wrestle, manage. Yep. She could talk. She was the whole package for women's wrestling. I think she was ahead of her time. And Miss Elizabeth is another honorable mention with the Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she
absolutely.
I know she was limited to the Macho Man, but everybody knew Elizabeth.
But I mean really, she was just the damsel in distress. It was the same thing every time.
We forgot the Slickster.
Oh.
Slick. The Doctor of Style. Yes. Oh, how could we forget?
How could we forget about the Doctor of Style?
Paul Heyman, of course, for the reasons you mentioned. Paul Heyman has been relevant in every era of wrestling. Have you noticed that?
Yep.
In the cartoon era, the extreme era, attitude era, ruthless aggression era.
It was his brainchild.
Yeah. But he's exactly. But he can work in any style of wrestling. And that that's not a trait that a lot of people can lay claim to.
Right
now, the Undertaker can with wrestling,
right?
And even Bob Backlund fit into two generations of the WWF in different ways as a babyface, and then as that mega heel that was cartoony. I think that's pretty good for the managers, don't you guys think?
Like nowadays, you don't really see that many managers. I mean, you know, there are some guys that are, you know, one guy that I think is very talented, you know, that could be a manager. I think he still has a lot to contribute wrestling wise, but I put MVP up there, man. MVP is great on the mic. He's good at talking trash. He's good at promoting a match. I mean, I love what they did with the Hurt Business. I just hate how they ended the faction.
They had so much more meat on that bone.
I mean, but here's a guy that I honestly think if anybody could be the next like big manager, I would put MVP up there, man. Yeah. MVP, the dude could sell.
Right.
I mean, when he talks, people listen. Mm-hmm. He knows how to interact with the crowd. He gets a crowd reaction. And like I said,
and the thing that he does, that I think is big now is his presence on social media. I don't know if y'all follow him, but he go at people on Instagram. Like, he don't give a damn. You go on his Instagram and talk some foolish just as you want to. He gonna bust your ass up right there. He don't care. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I just love how when he comes out and he was talking about Bobby Lashley and now he's promoting Omos. Omos is still fairly green at this point in his career. I could see MVP working wonders in his career.
Yeah.
I think that was a perfect pairing to put them two together.
I wish they would have just put him in the Hurt Business and just let him be the big
guy. I do too.
And just
let
Bobby be the face, and you got Shelton Benjamin, and you got the big old big giant, just like the muscle. That would have worked.
Exactly. Yeah.
So those are great.
Really would have liked that they would have absorbed New Day in there too, because I think that gimmick is running its course. Them guys could have went in there, especially with Big E being hurt. Right.
Dude, that was a nasty injury, bro.
Yeah.
My goodness, man.
He's lucky to be alive.
He is. That was bad. I mean, that neck.
Dude, that
was
a bad
injury. His neck wasn't so damn big and thick. He's a normal guy. He would have been out of there.
That happened to Taz, too. He broke his neck in ECW, walked into the hospital, and they were surprised because he had broken his neck, completely, but his neck muscles were holding it.
If you look at, Taz, Sabu, Stone Cold Steve Austin, these guys have had some terrible neck injuries.
And Kurt Angle. We can't forget about
Kurt Angle,
His neck.
I mean, Lita, when she did that dive outside the ring, dude, her neck is just oh, man.
Yeah. Ouch.
My mic went out. So.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Oh, you're good? Okay. All right, while you're adjusting that, I want to go now to the commentary, Mount Rushmore. Now, Mount Rushmore, calm down. I want to start this one if I can, because that's something near. That's kind of something near and dear to my heart because I've done commentary for sports. I've done a little bit for wrestling too, and of course, the first one I want to go with is Jim Ross. I think that's unquestionable. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been the greatest, really. He's become that over the years. He's commentated in so many different iterations and generations and promotions as well. I'd also have to put in there Gorilla Monsoon. Mm-hmm. Even as a wrestler, he sort of became more well-known as a commentator, play-by-play wise. I'd have to definitely go with him, put him in there. Also, I'm thinking Gordon Sully, who sort of influenced Jim Ross and was considered the dean of wrestling announcers.
Mm.
He was fantastic. He knew all the names of the holds. In fact, he went as far as to have the wrestlers, before each show, demonstrate the holds on him so he knew how they felt and where they applied pressure so he could sell it accordingly. You don't have a lot of announcers going to that great of a length now.
That's true.
It isn't. Yeah, I mean, they don't. And I think for my fourth, let's see, who did I? Okay, I've already gone with the other three, with Jim Ross, Gorilla Monsoon, Gordon Sully, and oh my God. I mean, we've talked about the color guys like Bobby Heenan and Jerry Lawler, as well as Jesse Ventura. And as far as, I don't know whether I want to keep it play by play or not, or whether I want to, Vince was another honorable mention for me because of the way he announced. He kind of inspired me to be an announcer. As a matter of fact, that tone in his voice, that excitement, that energy that he would have. And I think as far as announcers go, the last one I would include would be Mean Gene Okerlund, because he could do it all. He could ring announce, he could commentate, he could interview. He was so well-rounded. And I'd also have to give honorable mention, though, to Tony Schiavone, who still does a great job in AEW. Mike Tenay, as you mentioned on another show, Raphael. Gosh, there's just so many that have been great. But I guess those would be my top four. Jim Ross, Gorilla Monsoon, Gordon Soley, and Mean Gene Oakland, I think. No particular order. And the honorable mentions I said. All right, Rich, what about it?
I'm put the duo in the dynamic duo in together, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. Because just the magic, the charisma that they had with each other, the contrast. You know, Jim Ross was the ultimate play by play guy. Like he could call a match blow by blow by blow, spot by spot by spot, and make you feel like it was like you felt every spot along with the action. You know what I'm saying? Like his delivery, the demeanor. I just think how big that spot with The Undertaker and Mankind was when he threw him off the Hell in the Cell, but how much bigger it was by Ross's reaction.
I think that was organic.
Right.
I mean, that was scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raphael, check your microphone real quick. I think it shows that you're on
mute.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got you now.
Okay.
So, without question, you know.
He told the story of the match. He was a great story.
As it was unfolding.
Yeah.
As it was unfolding.
He was
real-time storytelling is pretty hella hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse the Body for me is just that guy. Because, like I said, he was the ultimate character. He was like one of you don't watch, you know, wrestling for a commentator, but you watched it for him.
Yes.
Because his persona, his personality was so freaking big. And of course, for me, you know, he made another Mount Rushmore of mine, and that's Paul Heyman. Because, like I said, his descriptiveness and, like I said, the energy that he brought, you know, behind the mic also, he made you feel like you were part of it. Mm-hmm. If I were to go honorable mentions, Vince would be one.
Mm-hmm. Who's your fourth on the Rushmore?
I had Lawler, King.
Oh, you put them in together. I got you. Okay.
Lawler, King, Jesse the Body, and Paul Heyman.
Okay, got you. Okay.
So we got Vince and Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla Monsoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gorilla Monsoon.
Sweet.
Right. Yeah.
I'm gonna say JR, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows how to tell a story. He knows how to do the play by play on a match. I'm gonna say Tony Schiavone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always been a fan of his. I enjoyed his work. I'm gonna say Joey Styles too, because you know Joey Styles was very underrated commentator.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I think that he doesn't get the mentions he deserves, you know, and a lot of times. But he's definitely a great commentator. Go back and listen to some of his commentary. Jimmy, you've heard him. He was great in ECW.
He was very, very detailed about the moves. Like, he was like a move guy, you know what I mean? He knew all the moves. He studied. You're absolutely right about that. And he could carry the broadcast if he didn't have a partner.
He could.
And did. So for several pay-per-views for ECW, and did the TV all by himself for a long time. And he had a lot of great traits. He could, you know, be objective, but also be kind of sarcastic. You know, he was funny. Yeah. Very witty.
Yeah.
So that's a good choice. Yeah.
And the last one, as far as the Mount Rushmore, I'm gonna have to put Michael Cole in there. I know Richard's not a big Michael Cole fan, but let's face it. I'm not going to take credit away from the guy.
You know what? You're
Michael
right.
Cole could be, but the guy could call a match.
He's learned how to do it. I think he's gotten better.
It's not an easy thing to do, man. Like if
the anonymous general manager was better than Michael Cole.
Well,
I mean, when you're looking at a match, you know, Jimmy, you've done some commentating. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to do, bro. You know that.
Because,
you know, and like when I'm watching the match, he's like, you know, Irish whip to the rope, this, that. You know, it's like he's going from move to move to move. So he's good at doing that.
When you're commentating, you have to second guess. When you're commentating,
you gotta give me a little bit more than just tell me, you know, just tell me what the spots are. Like, you know, that's the element.
He does that now, though. Michael Cole does a little bit better, I think. Don't you think, Raphael? I think you're saying that too, with the storytelling.
I think he does a good job.
He's not up there. He's not up there with Jim Ross. I mean, nobody is.
I'm not saying he.
I'm telling Richard mainly. I mean, to compare him to Jim Ross would be like comparing a filet mignon with a McDonald's hamburger. You know what I mean?
Jonathan Coachman did the same thing, but at least he threw a little something in there. You know what I'm saying? A little something.
And as far as honorable mentions, I'm going to say Taz. I think Taz does a good job at commentating.
I didn't like him as well in TNA, but I liked him in the WWE, whatever.
He did great.
TNA, though, he was a little more like Lawler. I didn't quite like that style, but that was just me. I preferred his other one. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Coach, Jonathan Coachman. Another guy that could, you know, he's great. He doesn't he's the kind of guy that he'll just sit there and talk trash while the commentator's there and just I mean, he's not really doing play by play per se, but you know, he's the one that's there like, oh no, he didn't cheat. He slipped and hit her across the head.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what makes it fun, you know, because JR's doing, you know, the play by play and stuff, and you know, Jerry the King Lawler's so busy talking about puppies.
Right. So, and it works. They had a great chemistry. It worked. I can't deny.
It worked.
But, you know, I do want to go back to Michael Cole for a second. I think it's great that you mentioned that. He has really amped up the storytelling aspect, I think. He works for what they need now. And I think he does well for what they need now. Did he work as well in the old eras? No. I think he works for what they need now, and that is he listens to what they're telling him. He's able to relay it smoothly. He can keep the pace of the commentary going. He can second guess sometimes what the next move's going to be and how it affects, you know, and when to call the move and when to talk about the story. There's a line there. You can't just do it the way, like I'll honorably mention Lance Russell and from Memphis as well as was it Bob Caudle in the Mid-Atlantic region and then South Atlantic later. They were more, as well as Gordon Solie and even Joey Styles, they would call the moves, but maybe not as much of the story, but they were real quick with the moves. But now they want more of a storytelling aspect. So, you know, Jim Ross had to adjust his style. He was a very technical commentary, and then he adjusted. Mm-hmm. And Michael Cole's kind of had to do the same thing. And I think you're right, Raphael. I think you got to give him credit for that, for being able to grow and to do it the way McMahon wants to do it, you know. If they want him on Fox network television, then he's doing something right in somebody's eyes, obviously.
Right.
Now, the one that was commentating for NXT for a while,
Mauro Ranallo.
Dude, that dude was great, man.
Yeah.
He was an MMA fighter
to begin with. An MMA commentator, rather, to begin with.
Yeah, but he did. Man, it worked well. When NXT,
Little trivia for you, if you want a little trivia. He not only called Shayna Baszler as a wrestler, but Shayna Baszler as an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not know. I didn't know he called her as an MMA fighter. I know he had some other background prior to wrestling.
Yeah. But she was the NXT champion, I think, during his era, right? Have I got that right? Wasn't she the NXT champion during Mauro's commentary?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
and he called Jessamine Duke too. And Jessamine Duke, wasn't she in NXT for a while?
Which one?
Jessamine Duke.
I believe so.
I don't know. I haven't watched NXT in a while.
Okay. Wasn't she there with Baszler and all that? No. Okay.
But yeah, this was a few years ago, bro.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 2019.
Because Shayna Baszler's been on. She's already been on. On Raw and SmackDown.
But I'm putting Ranallo in there, and I think he called both of their fighting careers too. I think a couple times.
Yeah, he's called a lot of great matches, man. NXT, you know, a lot of amazing matches.
Yeah, I noticed he has that really like excitable voice, almost like somewhere between McMahon and. I don't know who else. I can't think. Maybe Jim.
He has a little bit of both. You were saying?
No, I'm saying he's got a little bit of both the Vince and the Jim Ross.
Yeah,
I think kind of a hybrid.
Yeah, he's definitely energetic, and I think there's something missing without him. I don't think he's there now, is he? I don't think he commentates there now.
Nope.
I haven't watched NXT in forever, so I, you know, but I remember it, you know.
And after the rebranding of 2.0, man, it kind of went downhill, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know,
But yeah, he's been commentating for a while, Morrow has. And I think he even did some Stampede Wrestling stuff back in the 80s. Is that right?
I believe so.
In the 80s, too.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that is very talented when it comes to commentating.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very much.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Old school here. How can we not mention Cowboy Bill Watts?
He was okay in my book.
Before his time, you got to remember how limited were back then. It's old school. You can't, this is even pre WWF. So like Bill Watts was, he was excellent behind the mic.
I think about Jim Ross and then I will go back and listen to Bill Watts. It's not quite the same to me.
Of course not. But I mean, Jim Ross is the GOAT.
But the thing is, But he studied from Gordon and Bill Watts. So right. You would think that Bill Watts would be, sometimes he seemed to have trouble putting the story over to me. He wasn't as energetic. That's Michael what it was. It was the energy.
Inspired by Dr. J, he turned out to be better than him. So, I mean.
True that. Yeah.
I think Eric Bischoff did a good job commentating.
He did a good job.
He did okay.
I think he did a good job.
Yeah.
I know, I think he was doing it right
before. Sometimes, dude.
Yes. Yeah, just a little. Just a little. And with, I think the Bill Watts thing, I think it's the energy sometimes that was lacking. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about. And but he did have one interesting thing that JR followed, and that was having different adjectives for the heels and the baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a devastating clothesline if it was a heel, or a beautifully executed clothesline if it was a baby face.
Mm-hmm.
So you were telling that's part of the story too.
Mm-hmm.
So, they.
What do you think about Josh Matthews? I think he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he did a good job. And then he ended up going to Impact Wrestling and he was doing commentating over there. And then he did some heel work over there as well.
Yeah. Better as a babyface.
Now, who's not done yet, but who I think if he decides to do it after he's done working is Jericho.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He does pretty well.
Jericho has done some commentary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's very
good. CM Punk did some commentating too.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a good commentator, CM Punk, maybe as a heel or maybe if he's tweener or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
we mentioned MVP earlier. I could see MVP doing good commentary also.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is just talented. I'm just a big fan of his.
He's fantastic. So I guess that about wraps it up, guys. What do you think? I think we've got our top four of the commentators, and we've mentioned.
We're going to post this on social media because we want this debate to continue. We want to hear what you guys have to say.
This is a never-ending debate.
No. I mean, and everybody that's listening to us on the Believe Network on the different platforms, I think they have opinions too, hopefully. Yeah. I'm sure they're
listening. And that's the beauty of it, dude, because everybody's opinion is different, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
And we hope everybody's listening on the Believe Network, iHeart, Radio, Google, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and everything and anything in between, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so,
wrestling fans, we're going to post this also. You like these kind of shirts? We got more on the way. So throwbacksrus.com. Throwbacks the letter R, us.com. We have gotten our hands on a limited selection of WrestleMania X7 t-shirts that we're going to be releasing soon. They're going to go fast, but we were able to get our hands on them. I can't tell you how, but they're coming. And as soon as we post them, you might want to go get them because you're probably not going to get another chance to get your hands on them ever again.
Absolutely. I know I'm going to. Yeah. So that's going to do it for our show, BLEAV.com. Search for BTP Sports. That's how you're going to find the Wrestling Addict Show on those streaming apps. And we're going to wrap it up for Richard Walker and Rafael Guzman. I'm Jimmy Anderson, reminding you that the best addictions are safe and healthy addictions. Keep clean, stay out of trouble, and we'll see you for the next Wrestling Addicts. We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for being with us, and so on.